The bright side is always, always North Shore with Brian French, who is live and in living color in our studios. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful.
Missed you. You've been gone.
I have been out and about, but
you've
I'm back.
Peregrinating is what you've been doing.
A little bit of perambulation.
Yeah, that
yes.
too.
Yes, a little bit.
And you rode your bike in the ice today.
I did.
I was tootling along from the parking lot where I wimp out and drive my car and park in the parking lot, and it's slippery underneath the snow.
You know, having little studs on your bike tires makes all the difference. And, you know, sometimes as I'm riding past the cars that are spinning their tires, I worry.
Laughing.
Well, I worry that they, you know, shoot me the little stink eye, but that's okay.
Today at 27 degrees or so, maybe a little stink eye. Tomorrow at 7 below,
then they laugh.
No. Then they pull over and go, would you like a ride?
But you know what's funny is that because I have to go up the hill, I'm always just cooking by the time I get to the top. I'm overheated.
Right.
So
right.
It's kind of funny.
Your little face is pink and
right,
your
yeah, exactly.
cheeks are all
I'm okay.
pink with exertion and you're pulling off hats
right.
and outdoor outside
yep,
jackets.
Unzipping, and, right.
All right. So what are we talking about today,
Hank? Ooh, today we're going to talk about Isle Royale and the Wolf Moose Study.
Yes.
Yeah. So Isle Royale is great. It is a unique gem in our region. So Isle Royale is the largest island on Lake Superior. It's about 45 miles long. It's about 9 miles wide. And it's about 20 miles from shore up near Grand Portage, which is right at the northern border of Minnesota. It was established as a national park in 1940, and we're going to talk about it in relation to its parkness today. It is perhaps one of the most unique national parks in the United States because many reasons. You can only get there by boat or by float plane. So that's
unless
there's
it's frozen.
Right.
And there's an ice bridge.
However, that's also the only national park that closes in the winter. No other national park closes. Isle Royale shuts down.
That's my scrunchy face of disbelief.
I
but
know.
You're going to explain it all if I'm just quiet and listen.
So most people get to Isle Royale by a ferry boat. And there's one from Grand Portage, which takes about an hour and a half. And there's another one from Houghton, Michigan, which takes about 3.5 hours. The one out of Grand Portage is a smaller boat. So you get to experience the pitch and roll of the waves a little bit more. The one from Houghton is a little bit larger boat, a little bit more comfortable. But it does take longer. Okay, pop quiz. How long is the average length of time people spend visiting any random national park in the United States? What amount of time?
2 hours?
4 hours.
Four.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so,
good.
That's
all
not
right,
too
that's
bad,
a little
right.
longer than, yeah, all right.
The average
good.
Visit to Isle Royale is 3.5 days. That's the average visit.
Okay, it doesn't count if the boat leaves and you can't get off the island.
Right. So, Isle Royale is also home to the longest continuously running Moose Wolf Study. Researchers began annually observing wolves and moose on Isle Royale back in 1958, and it's continued every year ever since. So that's 56 years. The unique aspect of this is that this is the only ecosystem in which you have wolves, moose, and no bears. So that makes it very unique. There are no bears on Isle Royale.
Well, there aren't any giraffes either.
Yeah, but in this region, you would expect to see black bears. That's just one of the things in our area, but there are none. And so there creates a very unique set of circumstances for the ecosystem. And so they've been studying this for years. But now here's the thing. Most studies in ecology only last a few years, and often it's even less time than that. At the end of a normal study, ecologists will draw conclusions about their findings, and they move on. On Isle Royale, the scientist who started the study, Durward Allen, decided to keep observing. After a few years, outside scientists had decided that because of the isolation of Isle Royale, the moose and the wolves had achieved a balance of nature. They were living in a sustainable, steady state. That's what other scientists thought, but it turned out that wasn't the case. And because Dr. Allen had decided to keep going back year after year, we know that's not the case. So, about a month ago, researchers went back to Isle Royale to resume their annual winter study. They count wolves and moose from a small airplane, and they just do lots and lots of circles over the island. They've been doing this for decades. It's exactly the same process this whole time. The best part about the study is recently how they have been recording their findings. So typically you think about a scientific study and you think dry as dust, very difficult to wade through. But the way that they're capturing some of their observational data is delicious. And instead of saving a poem for the end, I'm just going to read some of the entries, and it is poetry.
Okay, I like it.
Okay, so January 19th, they hadn't even gotten there yet.
That's
this year, just a month and a half ago. Yeah, so they're getting ready to head up there. January 19th. At this moment, it is all possibility, and only some of the possibilities. January 20th.
So it's like Schrodinger's moose.
Very good, right.
Okay.
January 20th. We arrived to Ely, Minnesota last night. Now we just wait for opportune weather that will allow passage to Isle Royal. We waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. 5 days passed, and then we waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. Another 5 days passed. February 6th. Don helped move the field crew, Molly and Kelsey, out to Daisy Farm. Don helped them get set up, starting the propane cabin heater, knocking a hole in the ice for water and such. While standing 50 feet or so from shore and from the Daisy Farm, he turned to see a wolf walk out of the forest onto the ice. It stood there, head low and tail deep between its legs. He or she had the thin waist of a wolf who hadn't eaten in some time. A few moments later, the wolf slipped back into the forest as quietly as it had appeared. February 14th. A rushing invisible brushes past neighboring branch tips. They touch one another and release an invisible sound. A rushing invisible tumbles over the sharp edge of a rock that rises up from the ice. An invisible sound escapes. Each invisible sound multiplied by all the branch tips and by all the edges that fill the landscape, an uncountably large number of tips and edges. When infinity is multiplied by the invisible, by Cantor's theory of transfinite mathematics, the result is a roar. That is the sound of wind at 40 knots. It roared all night and into the morning. We slept in and enjoyed a slow breakfast. 15 February. Don and I counted plots in the morning. After a couple of hours, my mind grew weary of the circles, staring incessantly at the ground with all the intensity I could marshal. It's like sprinting, but with your eyes. No pacing, all energy, saving none for later, focusing on triggering the neurons that shout, "Moose!" when the pattern of one strikes the back of your retina. It's like Where's Waldo, except that your honor as a moose counter depends on not missing a moose. There's no business counting moose in a weary state. It's too easy to miss one. Then it's time to do something different. February 21. The basin was magically quiet and bright. It's the kind of lightness and silence that only happens in the winter. Typically, one cannot see one's own eyelids without a mirror, but today, the sun's light was 100,000 times more luminous. I closed my eyes only to see my eyelids fill my entire field of view, the pink light penetrating through thin skin. The sensation was exhilarating enough to make me take a deeper breath. The cold air rushed in. Normally, you can't feel your lungs. These are the pleasurable sensations that can make one happy to be alive, happy to be a sensing creature. A chickadee called. I wonder if the chickadee agrees. They have eyelids, considerably thinner than ours. They have lungs. They have a central nervous system, almost certainly capable of sensing their own well-being. I think it might be possible that the chickadee agrees. I'll believe so, until shown otherwise. So it goes on like that.
That is poetry. It is indeed. And you don't expect scientists to be poets. We have underestimated scientists all this time. I feel pretty bad.
Yeah. If you want to read the full entries, go to isleroyalwolf.org and click on the blue button that says Winter Study. And if you ever have the chance to get out to Isle Royal, I highly recommend it. I've backpacked the length of the island, and we ran into over a dozen moose, sandhill cranes, warblers, the orchids. It's just a fantastic place to visit.
Now, there's been concern about moose populations dwindling, a lot of concern about moose populations dwindling, and scientists trying to figure out what's going on, almost like with the honeybees. Something's going on, it's bad, we don't know what. Did I hear, or was this wishful thinking, that the moose population went back up a little bit on Isle Royal?
Right, so I haven't really talked about the population of the wolves or the moose, but in fact, the wolves, they have seen three, which is the lowest number that they've seen in, I can't even remember how long. I mean, we're at precipitously low numbers of wolves. There's not enough genetic diversity to keep a healthy population
and
viable.
And that is part of the concern on Isle Royale, too,
right.
I remember.
And what happens when you have so few wolves, the moose have no pressure, and so they just explode. And then when the moose population gets out of hand, which is what it's doing right now, it's just increasing and increasing, then they will strip all of the foliage that they normally eat, the balsam and all the other greens that they eat. They'll eat it so hard that then they'll starve in another few years. And so that's why having a healthy wolf population keeps the moose population in check. And then there could be a healthy, dynamic state.
Right. And there has been concern about, and I know scientists are very careful about not wanting to meddle, because whenever we meddle, it always turns around to bite us in ways we hadn't suspected. But there's been conversation about the possibility of introducing different wolves mm-hmm. with different genetic makeup, because they've got some hip problems. They've got some dysplasia.
Right. They have actually several problems, spinal problems, hip problems. They've got, it's possible that there are some cognitive issues that are popping up because the population keeps inbreeding, because there is no other genetic stock that they can have. One of the wolves made it off the island
last
winter.
Year.
Right.
And
was
died.
Shot as soon as it reached shore. And with that ice bridge, you know, you never know, did some other wolf come out that we didn't know about, or was there new genetic stock that made it out? But as far as humans intervening, there are questions of whether, I mean, moose didn't exist on the island 100 years ago. So, and wolves didn't necessarily exist on the island. I mean, they might have come and gone on various ice bridges, but, you know, it's tough to know what to do. I mean, on the one hand, you've got a really unique ecosystem, and with no wolves, the moose are definitely going to suffer. And this is where the scientists are trying to figure out what's the best thing for us to do right now.
And the more we learn, the more we know, the more we realize we don't know, mm-hmm. the more questions that present themselves.
Right,
but we're asking the questions,
which
is good.
Yeah.
Brian, it's so good to talk to you. Hey, let's talk
more
about moose and wolves. That's always good. Brian French is an outdoor enthusiast and observer of the natural world. He joins us every other Tuesday for a new feature called North Shore with Brian French. Funding for this program is provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.